Whether it's her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct has everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Looking to part ways with complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping? Then give your business the edge it needs with USPS Ground Advantage shipping from the United States Postal Service. Keep everything simple with clear upfront pricing and no unexpected surcharges. Keep things affordable with some of the lowest prices out there. And keep it all reliable with on-time ground shipments. It's time to turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at USPS.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy Saturday! Today's Saturday Classic did not come out in October or otherwise in proximity to Halloween. Lately, when I've had a little bit of downtime that I've wanted to fill with something comforting, I have been watching episodes of the TV show Designing Women, which ran in the 1980s and 90s. And on one of the ones I saw recently, there was this joke about Elvis Presley still being alive and hanging out with Judge Crater and Laika the Space Dog. And I was like, hey, we did an episode on that judge.
Yes, we did. This episode is called The Disappearance of Judge Joseph Force Crater, and it originally came out on February 24th, 2014. It also mentions Elvis, and it is today's Saturday Classic.
So enjoy.
Welcome to Stuff You Missed in History Class, a production of iHeartRadio. Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Holly Fry.
And I'm Tracy V. Wilson.
Tracy, have you ever heard someone thinking they were a comedian get on a PA like at a store and say, Judge Crater, call your office?
It rings a bell.
Yeah, I have vague recollections of it, but it seems like weird things when I was very young or faux memory.
Mm-hmm.
But people who have heard that or didn't know that was a thing, it was a thing people would do. Comedians would also use that line. And it's actually a joke that's housed in a historical reference.
Yeah, I think I thought it was from television.
No.
Like, but it had something to do with Mrs. Zwiggins or something.
No. So the vanishing of Judge Joseph Force Crater is one of our most requested topics. Lots of people want to hear about it. And it's considered one of the largest missing person cases in the U.S. In history. And it was one of the biggest news stories of the 1930s, probably second only to the Lindbergh baby, which happened a couple years later. And it's actually fueled decades of speculations about what exactly happened to this New York State Supreme Court justice, because there are a million question marks. And as we'll talk about a little bit more later, and as we've talked about in many other episodes, a lot of contradicting accounts of what actually happened.
Right.
So we'll do a very brief kind of biographical where he started, but really we're going to focus on his career and this vanishing.
Yeah. So he was born in Pennsylvania on the 5th of January, 1889. His parents were Frank Ellsworth Crater and Layla Virginia Montague, and he was named for his grandfather.
And he worked his way through Lafayette College and Columbia Law School. He took clerk jobs and, you know, kind of tried to work in law offices as he was working on his education. And from day one, he seemed to always cultivate professional and political connections. And he eventually opened his own law office at 120 Broadway. And that was in what was, I believe at the time, one of the largest office buildings in the country. And it was a little bit prestigious.
In 1916, he represented Stella Wheeler in a divorce. And later, they got married in 1917, and that was a week after Wheeler's divorce was finalized.
Yeah, she kind of found love at the law office.
She married her divorce lawyer.
Yeah. early on in his career, Crater joined the Cayuga Democratic Club, which was the seat of another group you may have heard of, which is the Tammany Society. Sometimes it's also called Tammany Hall, which was a New York political organization that had actually originated in the late 1700s. And as time went on, it came to be associated with corrupt voting practices, bribery, and other political corruption. The phrase vote early and vote often was heavily associated with the Tammany Society, particularly in the late 1800s, although I don't believe that is where it originated. But the group continued to be linked to corruption well into the 1900s. So Crater was kind of joining in with this group of people that had some kind of seedy connections. There's even a Dr. Seuss political cartoon from 1941 featuring the phrase vote early and vote often and a cat wearing a Tammany sweater. So widely recognized as a little bit dicey political arena there.
Yeah. So in 1920, State Supreme Court Justice Robert F. Wagner Sr. appointed Crater as his secretary. And at this point, Crater was also teaching law at Fordham and NYU as an adjunct professor.
Yeah, so he was getting in with, you know, kind of the heavy hitters in the justice system at this point. And he, you know, had various political appointments that came his way and opportunities that came his way. And they were, you know, believed to be favor-based or possibly bribe-based in many accounts. But the one interesting kind of counter to that is that even though people don't necessarily contradict that being the case, that they weren't always gotten through the most noble means, he was viewed as really quite a good lawyer and, in fact, an excellent professor by many people. And even though he was doing all of these kind of favor appointments and, you know, possibly corruptly gained positions, he was still making most of his income from actually practicing law. But his business was booming because he had all of these political connections. So there's kind of almost a
there's a lot of interplay.
Yeah, there's a lot. It's like a layers of an onion, but all the layers interconnect sort of tesseract style. Like they're all kind of feeding each other from different angles.
On April 8th, 1930, Franklin D. Roosevelt, who at that point was the governor, appointed Crater to a vacancy on the state Supreme Court. So there's already rumors going on that he actually bought his way into the position by paying off the Tammany bosses. There are stories that indicate that he had withdrawn $20,000 from his bank just before the appointment. It's not completely confirmed, but if so, that would support the rumor that there was a big payoff going on.
Yeah, and that was a lot of money. I mean, it's a lot of money for somebody now, but
it was even more a lot of money.
In 1930, to just go pull out $20,000.
Yes.
Is a lot. So we're going to jump right to his disappearance, because it happened very shortly after he was appointed to the state Supreme Court. So on August 3rd of 1930, Judge Crater was on vacation in Maine with his wife, Stella. They had a vacation house there. And he abruptly left to return to New York City. And he had done this previously, a couple of weeks or a week before, and then came back. And so again, he was kind of leaving abruptly. And he had promised her that he would return within the week so that they could finish out their vacation together.
On the morning of August 6, 1930, Joe Crater went through his office in the state Supreme Court chambers, and he destroyed all kinds of documents and then also packed up other stuff into folders and briefcases. And he moved a lot of documents into his Fifth Avenue apartment.
And he also directed his clerk to withdraw $5,000 from his bank. And he arranged for a ticket to that evening's Broadway performance of Dancing Partners, which was a show that had opened just the day before.
That evening, Crater left Billy Haas's chop house on West 45th Street after having dinner with a showgirl named Sally Lou Ritz and his friend and fellow lawyer William Klein. He headed off, allegedly going to the theater.
And the theater ticket that he had booked earlier in the day was used, though witnesses said it was most definitely not Judge Crater who actually used it.
And then he was never seen again. It was just 4 months after his appointment to the state Supreme Court, and he had just vanished.
Yeah, completely into thin air.
Looking to part ways with complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping? Then give your business the edge it needs with USPS Ground Advantage shipping from the United States Postal Service. Keep everything simple with clear upfront pricing and no unexpected surcharges. Keep things affordable with some of the lowest prices out there. And keep it all reliable with on-time ground shipments. It's time to turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at USPS.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable. I'm Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the United States? The world is powered by entrepreneurs, and if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. And every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business, and how they have found success being their own boss. From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
If you use paper, you're a human. But if you choose paper, you're a papertarian, someone who lives a paper-based lifestyle because it has a positive impact on the planet. And also because it's the easiest choice you'll make all day, seriously. It's as easy as reaching for boxed instead of bottled water. It's as easy as opting for beauty products that come in paper packaging. It's as easy as grabbing eggs in a cardboard container. And that's all in one trip to the grocery store, which, if everyone's being honest, you were planning to go to anyway. But paper isn't just an easy choice. Papertarians know that it's the smart choice, too. Because paper comes from trees, a renewable and sustainably managed resource, and paper products are designed to be recycled. In fact, when you choose products that come in paper-based packaging, those fibers can go on to be recycled up to 7 times. So why wouldn't you go Papertarian? Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian. So it will sound completely odd initially, and it is odd, but there's some sort of explanations for it. But Crater wasn't actually reported missing for almost a month. His wife, who he had left in Maine, thought he was in the city, and she didn't really grow concerned until the 16th, at which point it had been about 10 days since she had seen him and she hadn't been able to contact him. And some of his friends and associates in the city initially thought he was still in Maine with his wife, so they weren't thinking there was anything amiss. But then it became apparent that he was MIA when he didn't show up for court, when court was back in session. And initially, his friends that had already realized that he wasn't immediately available, they kind of started to investigate themselves, and they chose not to tell his wife because he didn't want to alarm her.
Yeah. This seems bizarre to, like, a really modern ear, because now cell phones are ubiquitous.
Yeah.
But landline phones were not ubiquitous at this point. Like,
yeah, so you would go days and days without hearing from someone.
Yeah, there were many, many households that didn't even have phones in them, so it's not completely unheard of that a person would be used to not hearing from their partner for that long.
The very thought is terrifying to me.
Yeah, me too.
I don't get a text from my husband by a certain point in the day and I start freaking out. Like something bad has happened. And it wasn't until August 25th that a formal investigation began. So at that point, it had been about 20 days. And even then, it didn't really hit the newspapers and become public knowledge until September 3rd. And at that point, the news was broken that Judge Crater was officially missing.
So the official investigation started. And once that was made public, all kinds of less than noble things, a lot of which had been rumored for a really long time, came to light. He was involved in brokering deals to buy and sell judgeships. And he definitely had a taste for dalliances with showgirls. Although a lot of people characterize his marriage to Stella as being very devoted. So
yeah, and I never know how much of that is people kind of trying to paint a nice picture of this guy that they knew and they were friends with, or how much of it really is that he seemed to have, you know, both a very steadfast devotion to his wife and a tendency to have affairs on the side.
Right.
Which I suppose is possible.
Yeah, I would say that's possible.
Especially for someone in a position of power. Mm-hmm. You know, he would certainly have available to him a lot of options.
He was in terms of a temptation-rich environment, so to speak.
There was also a news story that ran briefly in September of 1930, so just a little while after Judge Crater vanished, that Sally Lou Ritz, who, remember, was the showgirl that he had dinner with the night he vanished, had also disappeared. And this caused people to immediately speculate that she had been killed by someone to keep her quiet. But apparently, that report was published in haste, because while reporters couldn't locate her for a day or two, it soon turned out that she was, in fact, in her parents' home in Ohio, perfectly safe, and she was interviewed there. So initially, there was an even seedier thing that people thought was coming to light, and then it turned out to be nothing.
But on a similar story, June Bryce, who was rumored to be his favorite showgirl, did vanish in late 1930, but she resurfaced later in an insane asylum, and that's where she lived for the rest of her life.
In early 1931, so still just a few months after Judge Crater had vanished, his wife Stella allegedly found a 2-inch thick envelope in a bureau in the couple's Fifth Avenue apartment. And this envelope contained insurance policies and $6,000 in cash, as well as a letter that was written by Joe Crater, which listed out people who owed him money, and it was very insistent that this information was confidential. And presumably, according to many people's assessment of the situation, he had left this information for Stella so that she could collect on these debts to support herself and maintain her lifestyle.
And this raised all kinds of other questions, like how did the police miss this envelope during their searches of the apartment when they were investigating?
Right. Like during a missing person investigation, you do a pretty thorough combing of their personal effects.
One would think that they looked in the bureau.
But apparently not. So it could have been overlooked. But there, the other thing that rang very oddly to Crater's friends about this discovery of this envelope was that they insisted that the judge always carried his insurance policies and his other important documents on his person. So if he had been snatched, theoretically, which sounds completely bizarre to me, but
I'm laughing at that. That's why you're saying that, because I'm laughing at this idea.
Yeah, just I can't imagine carrying important documents with me everywhere. I'm like, that's not safe at all.
I'm just going to have my birth certificate on my person at
right.
all times.
So their, you know, assertion is that if he had truly been, you know, kidnapped or plucked from his normal goings on, he would have had those documents with him and not tucked carefully in an envelope left for his wife. And so this fact, as well as the discovery of several other small personal effects in the Fifth Avenue apartment that Crater was known to carry on his person at all times, and they were just sitting in the apartment. So this fed the theory that Judge Crater had, in fact, chosen to vanish rather than having been the victim of a crime.
So his wife had this ongoing struggle to collect on the insurance policies. And as a result of that, in 1939, Joseph Crater was legally declared dead. In 1979, the missing persons case was officially closed.
Yeah, it's without him being declared dead, life insurance policies would not pay out.
Right.
Because he could just show up again and it could all have been a scam.
So I feel like that's a soap opera plot.
Well, it kind of was. There was a whole other trial that went on with Stella that really dragged on, and it sounds just miserable. So an interesting point in terms of how Stella handled things after the disappearance and long after she had settled these life insurance issues is that for more than three decades, so every anniversary of her husband's disappearance, Stella Crater would walk into a bar in Greenwich Village and she would order two drinks and she would toast, "Good luck, Joe, wherever you are." And she would drink one of the drinks and she would leave the other drink untouched and then leave. Which in a way sounds very sort of wistful and sad and romantic.
Yeah, it makes me feel a little teary.
But then the part of me that wonders if she long suspected or even knew that he had arranged his own vanishing, if it's not kind of a like, wherever you are, jerk, I'm drinking in your honor. But that might just be my cynical side coming out.
So we have lots of theories about what happened and reported sightings.
Yeah.
Which is what happens with missing persons.
Yeah.
So there are so-called craterists, and these are unsolved mystery enthusiasts who study all these pieces of this puzzle to try to come up with the most logical explanation for what happened.
And they've come up with a lot of explanations throughout the years, and even people who don't identify as part of that group.
Yeah.
Some of the theories have included that he was a victim of a hit because of a mob connection and some sort of deal gone wrong.
Ran off with a showgirl.
Yeah, since it was at this point, you know, once he disappeared, it became very public knowledge that, in fact, he had had a lot of affairs with showgirls.
Right, so perhaps he R-U-N-N-O-F-T.
Right. The other one, this one I kind of find hilarious, and I don't know why.
Because it's very silly is why.
It's far-fetched. There are some that assert that he somehow became amnesiac. Like, he had amnesia and couldn't remember who he was or what he was doing.
Because soap opera,
which so much of the actual story is very soapish. You can see where people might land there.
There's also the theory that he committed suicide.
Yeah. There is also a theory that he was maybe killed by a blackmailer for not paying them off.
There's also a theory that he landed at Polly Adler's brothel. So, allegedly, according to these early drafts of a memoir that Adler wrote much later, she wrote that Crater died in her bordello and that she had had his body removed by friends. We don't really have these alleged drafts, though.
Right. We're kind of taking someone's word for it that they, oh, I've seen these drafts.
But I cannot show you them.
But now they're gone and destroyed. So we don't know. That's another kind of soap opera-ish one that people like to talk about, that he died in the arms of a prostitute and then there was a big cover-up. And for decades, the New York Police Department received letters and phone calls from people all over the U.S. and the world claiming to have seen Judge Crater, and particularly as important anniversaries of the disappearance would, you know, be coming up or just passed. So, like, at the 20-year mark, they got a ton of these calls. At the 30-year mark, they got a ton of these calls. And he's been reported as being seen everywhere from walking down Park Avenue, on jets to other countries, prospecting in California, herding sheep in the Pacific Northwest. I guess someone thought maybe he had a yen for a simpler life. In a mental hospital in Missouri, playing dice in Atlanta, running small-time casino games in North Africa, just hanging out in Havana in the South Pacific, in Shanghai, basically anywhere and everywhere on the planet doing any possible thing you could be doing. He has been reported as having been witnessed doing and being that thing in that place.
Yeah, he's like a judicial Elvis.
Yes, that's exactly what I was thinking when I was reading all of these weird accounts that people have reported through the years.
Yeah. So there have even been some staged hoaxes. There was one in the 1970s where police were called to a bar on New York's East Side, and they found a man dressed as Crater as he had appeared when he vanished in 1930, and lots of video cameras.
Yeah, and the person that was playing Crater in this staged hoax also looked like Crater would have looked in the 1930s. So it was clearly not the same person.
When we get into the time traveler theory.
Yeah, he was a doctor. So before we get to another development that happened in the 2000s.
A much more recent thing, yeah.
We will pause for just a moment for a word from our sponsor.
Yes.
Looking to part ways with complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping? Then give your business the edge it needs with USPS Ground Advantage shipping from the United States Postal Service. Keep everything simple with clear upfront pricing and no unexpected surcharges. Keep things affordable with some of the lowest prices out there. And keep it all reliable with on-time ground shipments. It's time to turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at USPS.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable. I'm Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the United States? The world is powered by entrepreneurs, and if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. And every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business, and how they have found success being their own boss. From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
If you use paper, you're a human. But if you choose paper, you're a papertarian, someone who lives a paper-based lifestyle because it has a positive impact on the planet. And also because it's the easiest choice you'll make all day, seriously. It's as easy as reaching for boxed instead of bottled water. It's as easy as opting for beauty products that come in paper packaging. It's as easy as grabbing eggs in a cardboard container. And that's all in one trip to the grocery store, which, if everyone's being honest, you were planning to go to anyway. But paper isn't just an easy choice. Papertarians know that it's the smart choice, too. Because paper comes from trees, a renewable and sustainably managed resource. And paper products are designed to be recycled. In fact, when you choose products that come in paper-based packaging, those fibers can go on to be recycled up to 7 times. So why wouldn't you go Papertarian? Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
So now we get to a very interesting letter.
Right. In April 2005, Stella Ferrucci Good of Belrose, New York, died at the age of 91. And this would have been a completely unremarkable circumstance, but she left behind a letter that reignited the Judge Crater case.
And in an envelope that she had left behind that said, "Do not open until my death," Ferrucci Good left a note that claimed that her late husband had learned the actual truth about what had happened to Crater and who had murdered him.
According to this note, a New York Police Department policeman named Charles Burns and Burns' taxi driver brother, Frank, conspired with other people to kill the judge and bury his remains under the boardwalk in Coney Island near West 8th Street.
And one interesting point of note, and this comes up a lot, particularly as we're looking through some of this information that was revealed in the note, is that various media reports of the contents of this note, even though this is a fairly modern event, as well as other aspects of the Crater disappearance that have been reported through the years, have been consistently inconsistent. In some stories about the Ferrucci Good note, it's reported that her husband was actually involved in the murder. And in other reportings of this note, they say that her husband was simply told about it by Charles Burns while they were having drinks in a bar.
So Frank Burns allegedly picked Crater up in his cab from the chop house that we referenced earlier on West 45th Street, then stopped a few blocks later, and two more men got into the cab. The car then headed to Coney Island, where they were joined by two more men, and that's when the judge, according to this letter, was killed and buried.
And this is where we need to point out another inconsistency in the various accounts of the last time that Judge Crater was seen. If you look through any of the various, books about it, and there have been many newspaper accounts, etc., some report that witnesses saw him getting into a cab, which at least sort of connects to the idea that Frank Burns could have picked him up in a cab. But others insist that there is no such witness testimony that he walked away from the chop house and did not get into a cab. So that's another kind of pebble to turn over in your mind on this about how inconsistent everything is.
Yeah. Although we've talked about lots of different motives that people could have for wanting to kill a judge who was involved in nefarious activities, there was no motive mentioned in the note.
There was, for fact checkers, a Charles Burns that was on the police force from 1926 to 1946, and he was assigned to the 60th Precinct, which is in Coney Island. So there is some substantiation of some of the information in this note, but then other things are a lot murkier.
Right. There are some reports that indicate that in the 50s, when the New York Aquarium was being built, remains were found under the boardwalk. Other sources say that there is no such evidence and that this is just a rumor. And since there hasn't been any kind of big announcement that Crater's remains were found, either way, the case remains unsolved. If there had been a body unearthed in the 50s, you would think that the first person that most people would think of would have been that it was the famous missing judge.
Yeah, that's another one that news outlets will say, like, there was a body found in the 50s. We've called the police for confirmation. And others will say there are rumors that there was a body found there in the 50s, but we've called the police and they firmly deny this. So it's kind of interesting and a little bit confusing. In the words of Simon Rifkind, who was a lawyer who worked with Joe Crater, and I think to some degree viewed him as a mentor, and Rifkind actually signed the form that formally opened the investigation into the disappearance, he described him as saying, quote, "Judge Crater was a man of such commanding appearance, he couldn't possibly get lost in a crowd." And Rifkind is not alone in that sort of description. This was a man who was very dapper. He was always well-dressed. Many people would have called him handsome. A tall, commanding presence, not someone who could just vanish.
One of the problems that's ongoing in this whole mystery is that there's all kinds of obfuscation and spin that's been put on the case through the years as many, many, many authors and different people who have a little part in the mystery have published their own accounts of the disappearance. So as with any event, eyewitness accounts also contradict each other. And there's also the possibility that people are purposefully bending the truth.
It's one of those things where, no, my account is the correct account. I am writing the new version of what really happened, and it's supported by these things, but there's always something different. So what really happened to Judge Crater in 1930, I would say at this point it's a safe bet we will never actually know. For all we know, he lived out his life somewhere very happily elsewhere, or he's been at the bottom of a body of water for a long time, or any number of other things.
Right.
We just don't know.
So, yes.
That's the Judge Crater disappearance. It kind of leaves more questions than answers, unfortunately. But
yeah. Sometimes when so many people really want us to talk about something, we get pretty invested in wanting to deliver on that, even though we don't wind up at a satisfactory mystery-solving conclusion.
Yeah, there isn't any. I think a lot of people that were very into the case were probably so excited in 2005 when that letter appeared and possibly solved it, but it really didn't, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for joining us on this Saturday. Since this episode is out of the archive, if you heard an email address or a Facebook URL or something similar over the course of the show, that could be obsolete now. Our current email address is historypodcast@iheartradio.com. Our old How Stuff Works email address no longer works. You can find us all over social media at Missed in History. And you can subscribe to our show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, the iHeartRadio app, and wherever else you listen to podcasts. Stuff You Missed in History Class is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah! And some waves, so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that!
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in!
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it!
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Looking to part ways with complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping? Then give your business the edge it needs with USPS Ground Advantage shipping from the United States Postal Service. Keep everything simple with clear upfront pricing and no unexpected surcharges. Keep things affordable with some of the lowest prices out there. And keep it all reliable with on-time ground shipments. It's time to turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at USPS.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable.
Hey, it's Bobby Bones. Are you looking to build this year? If so, there is no better time than right now to start planning and to get your spot on the construction schedule. If you need a garage, a stall barn, a storage for vehicles, RV, boat, collectibles, or even a shop for your farm, hobbies, or car restoration projects, visit MortonBuildings.com and start your construction process. With superior materials, craftsmanship, best-in-class warranty, Morton Buildings are made to last for generations. At Morton, the difference is in the details. From their cutting-edge innovations to their craftsmen in the field, they are dedicated to surpassing expectations. Their legacy of excellence spans more than 120 years, and Morton Buildings is 100% employee-owned with more than 250,000 satisfied customers. That means they're the industry leader you can trust. When you choose Morton, you'll experience quality at every step of the building process, starting before the walls even go up. Visit MortonBuildings.com to get started today.